This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Peace talks have resumed between Sudan and a rebel group called the Sudanese People's Liberation Army. This is not the only conflict in Sudan. In fact, a separate crisis in the Darfur region has delayed the peace talks in this conflict. But now, the two sides are close to a deal. It would give political autonomy to the southern part of the country, which is largely Christian. That change in the relationship with the largely Muslim north could end two decades of warfare. More than 2 million people have been killed. David McGuffin reports from the site of the peace talks in Nairobi, Kenya.
Your Excellency, Alios Mantaha, the first Vice President of the Sudan, Your Excellency, Dr. John Garang Mabior.
The two sides for this latest and possibly final round of South Sudan peace talks struck a friendly tone at the start of meetings here in Nairobi, somewhat surprising given that they've been waging the longest and bloodiest war in Africa and given the talks broke off abruptly here in July. At that time, the Sudanese lead negotiator, Vice President Ali Osman Taha, claimed he was too busy dealing with the international outcry over the crisis in the northwestern region of Darfur. There, government-backed Arab militias called the Janjaweed have been terrorizing African farmers, killing tens of thousands and driving over 1 million more from their homes. The U.S. has accused the Sudanese government in Khartoum of genocide, and the U.N. has threatened sanctions. But on this day in Nairobi, Vice President Taha said Khartoum is again ready to talk with the South. I can confirm the readiness of the government of Sudan to continue negotiating with sincerity and good faith, he said in his native Arabic. That this is true is due in no small part to a new consensus reached by the international community, led by the United States, about how the situation in Darfur ties in with the peace deal in the South. Jeff Millington is the U.S. Special Representative to these talks.
The tragedy of Darfur, I think, serves as a backdrop, and I think it underlines the urgency of reaching an agreement here. Reaching an agreement at these talks can directly facilitate reaching a political agreement in Darfur.
As the Southern Agreement is national in scope, the U.S. and other nations are urging that it be applied to Darfur as well. About 85% of the Southern Peace Accord has been agreed on. The SPLA is to become coalition partners in the national government. They will get a split of revenues from the rich oil fields in the south. They will be allowed to maintain their own army and have political autonomy, which could lead to independence from the north in 6 years' time. A few issues, such as funding of the Southern Army, still need to be hammered out. A Southern Sudan peace has been one of the central planks of the Bush administration policy in Africa. With the presidential election looming in November, the White House had hoped to be able to highlight Sudan as a foreign policy success. A deal before November 4th now appears highly unlikely, but the U.S., teamed with Britain, Italy, and Norway in backing the talks, is pushing for the peace to be finalized by the end of the year. Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair told the Sudanese president exactly this in Khartoum last week. David Mazursky is Sudan analyst for the International Crisis Group.
The longer it drags out, I think the greater the risk that it could fall apart, that what has been agreed to over the last 2+ years could be in jeopardy, and that the fighting that's going on in Darfur, if that happens, will certainly spill over back into the south, into Nuba Mountain, southern Blue Nile, and the SPLA will be dragged back into the civil war, and from there, all bets are off.
Rebel leader John Garang is also under pressure. While he is leader of the SPLA, other rebel groups do exist. There is concern about how much patience these armed factions will continue to have. Garang, too, expressed fears about conflict spreading in the country.
And having war and instability in other parts of the country cannot be useful to anybody in the Sudan or in the region.
It's hoped here in the region that the reality of this statement will be clear to both sides, because the outcome of the alternative, renewed warfare, is only too well known. For NPR News, I'm David McGuffin in Nairobi.